Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsuniversity.com, calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. Linda and I have a great show lined up for you guys today. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com, calling in live from Los Angeles, California. And I will let Linda tell you guys about our guest today. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. It's great to be back from vacation, blisters and sunburn and all.
Oh, no.
Isn't that the mark of a perfect vacation?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So I'm delighted to be home and back in a much friendlier temperature, and really delighted that what we have today is a guest who's really going to dive deep into one of the most vital areas of who we need to be as business owners, as business experts, and that's really all about finding and attracting our ideal customers. Eleanor Strong is a digital marketing strategist who teaches aspiring entrepreneurs how to use sleuthing to uncover, really go out and really find and attract their ideal customer so that they can finally start making the difference they're meant to make in the world and, by the way, get paid to do it. So, Eleanor, I'm delighted to have you with us today. Welcome.
Thanks, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you with us. So, you know, we spend a tremendous amount of time on the program talking about how essential relationships are, relationships with our customers, relationships with our associates, our joint venture partners, our strategic alliances, our vendors, and so on. And I'd love to help our listeners understand how you came to be focusing on this one specific aspect of business building.
Yeah, great question. So it really started, it was born out of my own frustration in discovering what was possible to do online to create a business using the internet. And I took a variety of different marketing courses that talked all about, you know, the first exercise in a marketing course is almost always the same. Write out your ideal customer profile, or avatar as it's sometimes called. Write out this person's fears and write out their desires and write out everything they're thinking and hoping. And that never quite sat right with me, that exercise, when I did it, because I didn't know if I was doing it correctly. I didn't know if I was just making this person up, if they really existed or not, or if maybe it was just a shadow of my former self. Not that that's wrong, but I just didn't know how to validate that I was doing that correctly. And so I just kind of stalled for about a year, wondering how to get out of that chicken or egg type problem. And then I thought, wait a minute, there are people talking about problems and fears and struggles all the time on the internet. And, you know, my background, my professional background has sort of been in systems, data systems and management. And I thought, well, could the process of discovering my ideal customer be systematized? And that it could. And once it started working for me, I got really excited and really wanted to share it with as many people as possible. So that is the short version of how I got into ideal customer sleuthing.
I love it. And you mentioned that you had this background in a very different arena in business. What was it that you had been doing before you decided to put your focus on this online business world?
Well, I've had a variety of positions in the nonprofit world as well as education and small local businesses, helping them build data systems to support their work. And I had also been a psychology researcher. That was sort of the first job I ever had, was working on studying families and children. So this is sort of, I guess, the perfect thing for me because it's the intersection between psychology and what makes people tick and this whole systematizing things.
And so there we go, stepping one little tiptoe at a time into, you know, from looking at data to looking into this whole realm of how to uncover our, as you said, ideal customer's avatar in order to figure out how to be in relationship with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful. So as you were putting this system together, what were the ahas that you had?
Well, there were many. There were many ahas throughout the process. I guess the biggest one was sort of the mental trigger that I identified as, okay, this is a person who I can help. And that mental trigger was, I could help with that. So I realized, okay, I'm seeing people talking in forums, on blog comments all over the internet about their struggles and their problems. And if I think to myself, oh, what that person's describing, I could help with that. That's how I knew that that was somebody who could be my customer. And that one insight just changed everything.
I love what you're sharing. If I know we have some listeners who are thinking, I don't even know where to go start looking. So how did you uncover for yourself as you were going through this process, like where to start looking? Because I know from my own experience, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like a giant daisy chain where once you figure out the first daisy, you know, it's attached to the next and the next and the next.
Right, exactly. So a couple of things about that. One is that before you even think about, okay, where do I go, you're already visiting a lot of places that can be fruitful for you in terms of research. We're already gravitating towards blogs we're interested in, right, and forums we're interested in, some of us, because mm-hmm. we know what we're interested in. It's just a matter of, first of all, adopting a different mindset. Because I think a lot of people, you know, I see in a lot of these forums people taking surveys and asking questions like, you know, what's your biggest struggle about your relationships, if, say, it's a relationship forum? And they don't really need to do that. You know, they can just watch what people are saying, and that can be a lot more effective. Then the other thing is to really have a system in place to capture comments when you see them. And what I love to use is the Evernote web clipper. And that's how I ended up collecting all of the different problems and struggles that I was seeing people talking about. I used the Evernote web clipper in my browser to just save every comment that I saw. So that doesn't really answer your question. I do have some thoughts about how to come up with places, but I would say those two things first.
And it's really interesting what's changed over time. I know maybe 5-7 years ago, people were being told, you know, go get a stack of magazines and read magazines and, you know, from the newsstand, or go to bookstores and look to see what people are writing about your topic. And if they're writing about it, that must be the issues. But mm-hmm. all too often you end up several steps away from actually being in relationship with the very people you want the relationship with.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's never been easier to find out exactly what people's struggles are exactly this second, you know. It's really pretty exciting when you think about it, the time that we live in.
It is amazing what technology is breeding, and it's so many different media being used through technology between blogs and forums and threads. What I find fascinating is I will put a question in and I'll end up with my results. For instance, if I'm inside Google as my search engine, I'll end up with pages and pages of conversations where I'm diving in. It's almost like being a voyeur. I'm diving into other people's conversations back and forth with each other, and the further they go, the more natural their language and how they're talking about things with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's almost, like you said, it's almost like voyeuristic. You're just kind of looking in, but that's kind of the culture of the Internet, which some of us seem to not remember sometimes, I think, when given what's shared sometimes. But we can use it to our advantage when we're trying to figure out how we can be of service.
One of the things I'm curious about, I know your background was this combination of work for corporations and for nonprofits. Do you find as you're working with people, helping them figure out their ideal customer avatar, that there are different approaches they should take to thinking about it or to researching it depending on whether they are themselves an information products company versus an offline service or products company or a nonprofit service focus? Does it change how they should go about approaching, thinking about, and researching their ideal customer avatar?
That's a really great question. People I have worked with on this ideal customer sleuthing kind of stuff have mostly been aspiring entrepreneurs, people who want to turn their expertise into some kind of a virtual business, like you mentioned, information products, coaching, that sort of thing. But in answer to your question, I really would not say that much would change, regardless of what your goal is, because when somebody invests in you, whether it's in your product or whether you're a nonprofit and they're investing in the work that you're doing, you are offering something in return. And it sounds so simple, but I think a lot of people don't think of it that way. Like in nonprofits, they sometimes think, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, convince people to donate to my cause. And I'm not saying you don't have to convince them, but you should be offering something that's good enough that they want to be a part of it. So I would say no matter what you're doing, you should be thinking about what does this person want who I'm hoping will give me money for something that I am offering.
Well, that's such a really interesting point. I have a client that I've been working with this past week, and we were talking about some of the key motivators for people in life and how to incorporate that into the presentation she's going to be giving. And we've been talking about the fact of key motivators being affiliation, wanting to be part of something with others who share that value, wanting a sense of power, accomplishment on their own, and to be participating in a world where that's valued, and wanting a sense of achievement. And it's interesting, meaning personal achievement, that you've put effort in and you can see the results of your own effort and have the feeling, the sensation, the perception of that achievement. And it's very interesting to think of it in the context that you were just talking about, because then if you're trying to craft your ideal customer's avatar, part of that, nonprofit or for-profit based, is looking at what is the motivator in their own personal life so that you're able to communicate with them on that level, whether you're inviting them with an invitation to buy something or to make a donation. It's really, you know, it's very interesting the way you were framing it.
Yeah, because, you know, we all have issues, or many of us at least, have issues that we're passionate about and problems in the world that we want to see solved. And so a nonprofit that is doing great work is hopefully trying to solve that problem. And so if we have the chance to donate to them, we have a chance to participate in solving that problem. So I guess I've just adopted this mindset of you're solving a problem, and what problem is it exactly? And if you can get that problem in the exact words of a real person, everything else just becomes so much easier.
Wonderful. So what you've done with your work is shape it into an actual program that you teach, correct?
Yep, definitely. I have created, it's called the Avatar Discovery Course. So I'm very excited about that.
And congratulations on that. And I would love to know, you know, let's describe for people, what is the breadth of the work that you do nowadays? Is it only working with the Avatar Discovery Course, and we'll come back to that, or is it a broader spread of types of work that you're doing with your clients?
So the course is my main focus right now. I got my start working one-on-one with multi-passionate entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs. I do still have a few of those one-on-one clients I'm working with. I've scaled that back a bit so I can work on the course, but I have a one-on-one program called the Multi-Passionate Roadmap program, and it's essentially just me taking people through this discovery process for their ideal customer. But I'm really writing out the steps of exactly how they're going to do it, where they're going to research, and how they're going to analyze their findings and that sort of thing. So it's fun for me because I can really get into the specifics with one person and what they're trying to achieve, and that's fun for me to see as they progress.
Right, it's tremendous fun. So I have to back up for a moment and play with the multi-passionate entrepreneurs. I would love if you would define for our listeners what you mean when you say multi-passionate.
Sure. So I actually think that most, if not all, people who are aspiring entrepreneurs would fall in this category. It's almost by definition, because people who are highly creative usually have many things, many areas in which they are creative. And so they have all these different ideas for businesses that they could start. I see this all the time. You know, somebody who has an interest in and knowledge about health and fitness, but maybe also graphic design, or maybe they're interested in coaching people on relationships. They just have many things that they are interested in and could be successful at. So does that answer multi-passionate?
So in the work that you do with your clients, are you taking them through steps that are helping them prioritize which of those passions or skills to go after first, or how shall I put this? I work with multipreneurs where they've identified what they're passionate about and they're working multiple businesses all at the same time. Now, they may be lying to friends, colleagues, and others, you know, when asked about their various interests. You know, they'll say, oh, I'm building this business. No, that other stuff's on the back burner. But, in fact, they're working on it nights and weekends. And so when I'm working with people, I'm helping them get all of those poor stepchildren out of the closet, into daylight, around the dinner table together, so that we can take a look at what's the common element across all of those business endeavors they have, find the overarching common element, and then harmonize all their activities so that they don't have to be in hiding about any of them. They're just now able to prioritize what they're giving attention to and when and so on. And so that, I suspect, is a very different stage than when you're working with multi-passionate people, helping them figure out, you know, which of their passions to actually be giving attention to right now for the purpose of putting it into business and so on. And
yeah.
Am I?
Yeah, that's a really good point. It very much depends on your stage. You know, are you established or are you just in the idea stage? Because you can absolutely start multiple businesses. Many people have done it, but the challenge is, where do you start? That's sort of what I have helped people with. And someone who's influenced me a lot in this area is Brendon Burchard and his work with teaching people how to monetize their expertise.
Sure.
And he talks about, you know, he has developed $4 or $5 million brands, and he did it in about that many years, I believe. But when he talks about how he did it, he says, you know, I started with, I forget which one he started with. He has High Performance Academy, he has Experts Academy, several other things. But, you know, let's say it was Experts Academy he started with. That was the one thing that he did for maybe a year. You know, that was the only thing, the one thing that he did that year was creating that brand and building that business. And then once he had that up and running, then he, you know, started the next thing. And so I'm kind of trying to do something similar with those one-on-one programs, is to get people to really pick the most logical starting point. And for me, that's the easiest one, like the problem they're seeing the most, what they're seeing talked about the most, because you just want the easiest thing for yourself to gain traction. And then people will come to see you as an expert at other things as well if you choose to expand.
And I'm going to jump in on this also. It's really unusual that we have you joining us to talk about this topic this week. I'm in the middle of recreating one of my courses called Motivation to Profit. And the theme for this entire week is identifying your ideal customer. Like, timing-wise, couldn't be more perfect. And this is one of the things that we're talking about right now. What do you do when you've got all these different passions you can choose from? There are so many different ways of approaching it. What I teach my people is that you really can use all of your passions, except that you have to do it in a way that is harmonized so that you're not starting multiple businesses all at one time, but that you really can, if you sit down and identify all of those things that you are passionate about and those that are really important enough that they've got to be a part of your business, you can be really creative in terms of how you can pull them all together to harmonize them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it definitely does. And you're actually making me think of something else that I try to remind people of, which is that in terms of focusing in, it's really most important for your marketing, for how you talk about what you do. Because when people come to you, you're inevitably going to offer them other things besides what you told them you were offering, you know, because you're going to bring your whole self to the table. You can't avoid that.
Give them what they want, sell them what they need.
Exactly, yeah.
Or the other way around, sell them what they want, give them what they need.
Yes, right.
Absolutely. Yeah, that happens every single day. So as I was looking through your website, I was fascinated by some of the terms that you've used, like busyness, B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S. Do you know Brad Semp?
I don't believe so.
Oh, we have got to get you connected to Dr. Brad Semp. Go to busyness.com, B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S.com. Brad actually has one of the biggest free courses on using Evernote. And I happen to stumble across the word busyness on the article that you have about how to use Evernote to organize all of your ideal customer comment research. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this can't be by accident, but apparently it is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll have to get connected to him. Evernote is just amazing. I learn more about it every day.
Let's talk a little more about how Evernote really helps you with your research. So let's use one of my customers as an example here. Oftentimes they've been really trying to get their business off the ground on purpose, going after everybody because they think it's a really good thing to do. If you go after everybody, won't you make more money? It's not exactly how I look at it, and I'm sure that's not how you look at it either. So
no.
How do they approach the research? Where do they start with it, and how does that then bring them to using Evernote?
Yeah, so I would say to begin researching by just turning up your radar a little bit at the blogs that you already visit, the email lists that you're already a member of, the forums and Facebook groups and pages and other social media that you're a part of, to just turn up your radar a bit and notice people talking about their problems and frustrations. And I'll tell you, when I was creating the Avatar Discovery course, the first module has a lot of examples of people talking about their problems and struggles. And I had a lot of fun finding those examples, and it was really not very difficult. Like, for example, on Twitter, somebody was complaining about, I think it was a sales manager was saying something like, I just love it when my sales associates no-show for the fifth time, hashtag rage babies, which I didn't even know what rage babies meant, but it was really funny, and it was very honest and off the cuff that, oh my gosh, managing staff is a problem for me. So I thought, hello, you know, if someone was interested in addressing workplace issues, managing staff and that sort of thing, there's a problem right there that you could address.
And what a great hashtag to be able to do research around.
Yeah, rage babies. Who knew? But so that's where Evernote is so helpful, because you can have that as an extension on your browser, whether it's Chrome or Safari or even Firefox. All three of those browsers have this Evernote extension that's available. And if you sign up for a free Evernote account, all you have to do is connect this Web Clipper extension to your account. You just sign in, and then it's in the corner of your browser. So if you see one of those comments that's like, oh, someone who's frustrated and maybe I could help, you highlight it with your mouse and you click on the Web Clipper and it saves it to your Evernote along with the link of where you got it from.
Wow, would that be a time saver?
Yeah, and it's a great list-building method, too, because that's actually how I started building my list for the Avatar Discovery course, is I saw so many people talking about being frustrated with their ideal customer exercise. And so I captured everybody who was talking about that, and I saved it to my Evernote, and then when I had the course ready and the page up, I went back to all those people and said, hey, friend, I have a resource for this now. It was so easy because Evernote took care of, you know, organizing everything for me so I could go back to it. It's cool stuff.
What a great idea. Would it be okay in the course that I'm creating right now, I oftentimes will have little side notes that have additional resources and whatnot. Is it okay if I link to the article you've got on this topic from that course? I think it would be really helpful for them.
Oh, absolutely. Share away.
I think I'll also embed a player for this show in the course permanently so that they can get all of this great information you're sharing.
That'd be great. Love to help them.
So I love the idea of just turning up the radar a little bit, because that's a great starting point. Where do they go from there?
Yeah, so once you have kind of gotten in the habit of really looking more carefully in the places you already visit, I would then suggest, as you're finding problems that people are talking about that you can address, go ahead and type some of those problems into Google. Because logically that would make sense, right? People who are having those problems might be typing them into Google. And then you can see, all right, what comes up and who's already trying to address these problems. And that's where you can really get some very, very helpful insight, because you can see, all right, who are my peers who are already trying to address this problem and help this type of person? And then you can begin watching what they're doing. And that's actually part of my course, too, is I teach how to automate the different postings that your peers are making and send those to your Evernote, so you can take a look at what they're doing and think about possibly ways to partner or ways you can be different and address the same problem in a different way.
That's a great idea. And along those same lines, the other thing I have my folks do when they're getting to that stage, as they're looking at their peers, oftentimes those peers have authored books. So if they go out to Amazon, find the peer's book on Amazon, and look at the comments that have been made on the books on Amazon, those comments are a roadmap telling you from the customer's perspective what they liked, what they disliked, so that when you're putting your own materials together, you can make sure that you're capturing and doing what they loved, but really improving upon the things that they disliked. It can make it so much easier to create your own products, not just books, just by reading between the lines in the comments on Amazon.
Yeah. No, Amazon is so, so helpful. I'm really glad you mentioned that, because there's so many things that are sold on Amazon now, not even just books. But what's helpful is you can see from people who already purchased something why they purchased it, which is sometimes a lot more helpful than trying to ask somebody, would you purchase something? Like Seth Godin wrote about this recently, right? He wrote about, you know, so many people try and ask, like, well, I'm thinking about doing this, and would you buy it? Would you be interested? And he said, you know, people are really bad at answering that kind of question because they don't really know if they'd be interested. You know, they could say, okay, maybe yes, I would be, but when it comes out, maybe they'll buy and maybe they won't. But far more useful is to find someone who did buy something and ask them why. And that's what you have the opportunity to see on Amazon. So great
years
point.
Years ago, when I used to broker joint ventures for people, I actually had several clients who had asked the exact same question. If I were to do this, would you buy it? One of them had thousands of responses saying yes. So he went and did it, and it was a $3,000 home study course. Put it out and actually had the comments that they had left saying yes. Oh, yes, here's why I would buy it. Put that in to the sales copy. You know how many units he sold of his $3,000 course?
Ooh.
Three. Thousands of people saying yes, they would buy it. He asked the wrong question, just like Seth is asking. They probably would have bought it at 10 or 20 bucks, but not at $3,000.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that Amazon can really help you with. In addition to the comments, I like to look at the things people bought together, as well as the price points of the things they're buying, both together and separately. My goodness, what that can tell you about your customer and what they're thinking about, can't it?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. It's the kind of information that, you know, business owners could only dream about having, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, and it's right at our fingertips.
It really is amazing how much the Internet has changed business. It really has changed life, but it's had an even bigger impact on business, I think. So many things that we could only dream about 30 or 40 years ago, we can do in the blink of an eye effortlessly today because the research we get at our fingertips online makes it doable.
Yep.
So do you have any other favorite tools you like to use when you're researching your ideal customer?
Well, actually, when you mentioned looking at what people purchase together, that made me think of another tool I love, which I'm just really beginning to explore, which is Facebook Graph Search. So that is a way of seeing associations on Facebook. For example, people who like a certain page, what groups do they belong to? And what other pages do they like? And the capabilities, once you start doing that kind of research, it's just mind-blowing because you have more and more opportunities to search for your ideal people. So, and you can do that just by typing into the Facebook search box. So, you know, where you would normally type, like if you wanted to add somebody as a friend and you were just looking for their name and you typed it in, this is the same thing. You type into the same area, but you type phrases like groups joined by people who like, you know, let's say the Oprah Winfrey page or whatever page you want. And then these results come up and you see all of these groups and you can join them and you can see what people are saying. And it's just incredible. It's an incredible tool.
We've been playing around with it ourselves the last month or so. Wow, how long has that been there? Because I didn't even know it existed.
I don't know. I don't know how long it's been around. I'm not the Facebook expert, but I just very recently discovered it, and I was like, holy cow.
We did, too. It was pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, Linda, I'll let you jump back in.
I've been loving this conversation because I'm madly taking notes about reorganize some of my own research and suggestions for my clients. So I'm loving this conversation. You know, we started at the beginning talking about the fact that as a result of your own trials and tribulations, you figured out a system for this that you've turned into the course. So I'd love for you to share with everyone exactly what the course is and, you know, how it is that you're guiding people through the process.
Sure. So the course is a 5-module course, and it is delivered primarily through videos as well as PDF instruction sheets. So, and it's a blend of videos that give mindset and the strategy and then tech trainings showing how to actually implement what I teach. So the first module is developing the sleuthing mindset, developing the mindset of looking for problems that you can solve. And so in that module, I give many, many examples of problems that you might be finding that would be good starting points for your research. And then I do a tech training on the most helpful ways to use Evernote and capture the problems that you're finding and organize them. So that's the first module. Then in modules 2 and 3, I talk about how to really glean information from your past experiences about your future ideal customers. Because we need to get beyond the problem that they have. That is step one, I think, is the problem that they're having. But there are other things that are important, too, such as what type of person do you like working with? What's their personality and what is their situation? And so this module, the second two modules, go into that and show how to use Evernote and how to use Google Docs charts to organize all of these different personal and commonalities between them. And then I talk about module 4, how to find your first ideal customer avatar. So this kind of goes back to the whole multi-passionate thing, and you've got laid out now all the possibilities of who you could serve in your business, and you're picking your starting point here. And from there, I teach about how to track your peers, those who are already serving the customer that you want to serve. I do tech trainings on how to automate their postings to your Evernote account and how to put their information in a chart. And then I teach how to create a line for yourself in the chart and decide how you will be different.
Wow.
That's not even the end.
Keep going.
So the last module, and I've been debating whether I should call this a bonus module or not. I started out calling it that. But the last module is on creating and testing your first offering. And then I go into best practices for finding people who you can help for free, ways to promote your first offer, your free offer, to those people, and then tips for conducting your offer and assessing how well it went. And I give tech trainings for that as well, how to use simple scheduling software, how to automate Facebook group postings to your Evernote from groups where people you might be able to serve hang out. And then I talk about how to use Google Forms to collect feedback from people you helped for free. So, and that is the final module, of course.
Wow. Now, my phone dipped out a little bit when you were talking about Module 3, so may I ask you to describe Module 3 again?
Sure. So Module 3 is seeing all of the aspects of your ideal customer, problems that they have, qualities they have, their personal situation, and choosing the first one that you want to serve, picking your starting point, sort of that whole multi-passionate thing.
Wonderful. So I love what you were just describing, because through all these modules, you're taking people literally from the starting point of mindset, which is the foundation of everything, all the way through the implementation of, you know, what we might call beta testing that new business, or even beta testing a refined business, because I think there's so many people who are in process in business. And if we pause and ask them who their ideal customer is, they'll hem and haw about it, not necessarily actually be able to describe it. So what you've just described as this series of modules is such a powerhouse way for somebody, even with an ongoing business, to step back and take a fresh look at how they're approaching it, how they're focusing it, and take it all the way through the testing process. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and I love what you just said, that this is an ongoing process, even when you have a business, because I was actually chatting just last night with one of the people she was one of the first people to take the course, and she was just saying, you know, I already had my business, but now that I went through this course, you know, I had the chance to, you know, test and validate a different idea that I have. You know, I kind of want to pivot and do something different. And she said, I think I'm just going to go through this again and again. And I was like, oh, that's what I like to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so if people want more information about this, you can find it at theavatardiscoverycourse.com. And it's also going to be linked in the show notes for today's show. And so the modules are delivered through video, so in a sense, people can do it at their own pace. Have you found that there's a best pace for people to take with this exercise?
That is a great question. I have found that it varies widely, depending on, you know, how much of this type of work somebody has already done. For some of my clients that I've worked with one-on-one, they did it very quickly because, like, say maybe they were a copywriter and they were just trying to figure out, all right, what sort of copywriting offering do I want to do? They were able to do that within, you know, just a few weeks of doing these methods. For myself, I actually collected over 300 problems that I saw people talking about on the internet before I decided what I was going to do, and that took about 5 months. So, but I had no idea what direction I wanted to go in. So it really, really depends. But I would just encourage people, like, the system works, and you kind of need to give it as much time as it needs. So I don't know if that's a helpful answer, but
it is
really
helpful, and I'll share why. Because I think we're living in an age where, because technology has made information so readily available, we all think that we must be able to assemble the perfect answer, in what, half an hour? Oh, okay,
uh-huh.
I'll give it a week. But the irony is, if you're building a business, you're going to live that business 24/7, 365, particularly if it's anchored in our passions. And so if we're going to be spending so much of our mind, our intelligence, our emotions, our resources on that thing called business, then it's worth taking the time to find the sweet spot. And I'll just reflect, you know, as I was listening to you describe the process you're using in these modules, it's completely different than anything I've heard or experienced in any of the marketing training that I myself have done. And as you described at the beginning, all these marketing courses will say, please sit down and write down your customer avatar. And it's never resonated for me. And what you just described as a process that's both dealing with the mindset, dealing with the research, dealing with the exploration, and dealing with the practicalities of how to organize what can feel like overwhelming data and information is completely unique to anything I've ever seen or heard before.
That's wonderful to hear.
I want to chime in here just because I want to use this recording in the course that I'm creating. What I loved about the way that the modules are organized is you have people start out with that research and then move into refining it into the ideal customer in terms of the demographics, the psychographics, the geographics, the really being very specific about who they are, not just in terms of are they men or women and how old are they, but what really drives them? Where's their emotional level at? And what I often suggest to my students, as they're collecting this information and they really want to start honing in on what that avatar looks like in terms of demographics, psychographics, etc., there are two things that I like to have them do that are really, really exceptionally powerful. When they have an idea for who the audience will be, I have them go out and look for associations that have statistics about the market, especially when they can pick up the phone and call an association and tell them not that they're a business, but that they are a student and they're learning about this particular market. Associations can be incredibly helpful. And almost every association that I've ever seen really studies their audience. So just a quick example would be an organization called BridalAssociationOfAmerica.com, BridalAssociationOfAmerica.com. They serve people in the wedding industry. So, of course, they're going to study the wedding markets, and they actually do an exceptional job in that they divide their research into what's going on in the offline world in wedding markets and what's going on in the online world in wedding markets. So if you go to BridalAssociationOfAmerica.com and look down the left-hand side, about middle of the page, you'll see a section that says Fun Stuff, and the last link in that section says Wedding Statistics. And when you get to the next page with all the wedding statistics, there's actually a link at the top that says Online Wedding Market. And it really refines the info even more specifically. It gives you all of the info about the people who are searching for things related to weddings online. Are they 20-something, 60-something, somewhere in between? Are they men? Are they women? Where are they located? And then it breaks it down into what they're doing researching and the dollars they're spending researching all the various items in the wedding market versus how much they're spending and what they're spending on buying all of the things in the wedding market. And almost every association has that information available for the asking. Many of them will only sell it to members, but if you're a student, you can almost always pick up the phone and get them to give it to you for free. So that's something you could really get your clients to use as well. If anyone is targeting baby boomers, the wealth of information that AARP has available just for the asking, it blew my mind the first time I saw it. It's an enormous amount of information.
Awesome.
And then the other thing that I have my people do is as they collect the info from the associations, they can also start zeroing in even further by looking at magazines in their niche. Every magazine has a media kit. The media kit, by design, is meant to sell advertising in that magazine. So, of course, it's going to have all the kinds of info that an advertiser would need in order to make a decision as to whether or not they could get a return on investment from their advertising dollars. So it's going to tell you exactly who their readers are. Are they men? Are they women? How old are they? What's their average household income? Where are they located? What's their occupation? What kind of a house do they live in? Is it an apartment? Is it a condo? Do they own? Do they rent? And then just by paying attention to the editorial calendar for the next 12 months, because every media kit has one, you can really see the evidence of what that magazine's research has told them about who their ideal customers are and what they really want. They don't just decide they're going to write articles because they want to write articles on these topics. It is very strategic. They're writing the articles that they're writing because they know their customers want them. So that can really help you to zero in even further on what you can do to really serve your audience.
That's awesome. That just expands even more on what I already teach people about peers and competitors. And those are fantastic tips that I know can really expand even further on these methods. So I love the idea of associations. I never even thought of that. That's terrific.
And it's the only kind of searching that I do that Google isn't as helpful for. It's really kind of strange. When I go out and put in, like, wedding association statistics on Google, the results that come up in the first couple of pages aren't always exactly what I'm looking for. So when I'm looking for associations that have statistics about a particular market, I usually do those searches on ask.com. And I will actually ask it as a question. What associations in the wedding market have statistics about the audience or about the market? I get way better results in the first couple of pages. Everything else I use Google for, but not that one kind of search.
Interesting.
I don't know why it's so different, but it is drastically different. A student gave me that tip a number of years ago, and boy, was she right.
That's a great tip.
I'll turn it back over to you, Linda. I just wanted to make sure that we talked about that briefly.
No, I think it's perfect to include it. Hillary, for people who are getting ready...
Isn't it Eleanor?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Just making sure. Thought I was on the wrong show.
No problem.
Lordy. Eleanor, for people who are getting ready, because in some sense part of the mindset shift is mindset shift. Wow. Language has departed. Are there exercises that you take them through to get people limbered up in a sense to asking questions instead of operating from assumptions they may be making about their topic or about their subject?
Yeah. Actually, I'm really glad you asked that, because there is really one important shift that I try to help people through, and that is really just shifting the focus off of yourself. Because I see so many people just asking themselves over and over and over, like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life, and what's my passion? And really a more helpful question is, what problems are others having, and how are they struggling, and how are they in need of solutions, and how can I support them? And when you learn to ask that second question, you actually get the answer to both questions. And so, because really your passion and your purpose, at least it's my belief, that those things can only be found in relation to somebody else. And I love to quote Thomas Merton on this, Father Thomas Merton, hugely popular author. He was actually a Catholic monk, and he has lots of wonderful quotes if you just Google his name. But he said, none of us finds the meaning of life by ourselves. We find it with another. And so once you can start focusing on how to be a support to others and be a solution for others, that's the key to everything.
I love that. I love that. It really speaks to the truth of it, which of course brings us back full circle to relationships. And in order to identify your ideal customer avatar, it's all about knowing who you want to be in relationship, who it is that you're trying to help. What are the issues that, in fact, you, your gifts, your experience being brought into the world can help? It's really
exactly.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. So the program itself, is it a specifically timed program that starts on specific dates, or can people jump in anytime they're ready?
So there will be a specific date. I'm actually preparing to do the first public launch, and that will happen in September sometime. I don't have the exact date, but in the meantime, people have the opportunity to sign up for a free ebook, which gives a lot of my best tips for sleuthing your ideal customer. And so people can get that at theavatardiscoverycourse.com. And they will be the first to know when it is ready. And it will be, the first live run will have some incredible bonuses, including private sessions with me to really help people apply the material. So that is what we have planned as of right now.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. And if there's anything at all that I can do or Gina can do in order to help you with that launch and to get it in front of your ideal customer, we'd be delighted to help with that.
Oh, I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Gina, any other thoughts or questions that you have?
Well, the only other thing I'd like to say is that I'd love to have Eleanor join us on our next workshop. We're doing a workshop virtually in September, and the topic is content marketing and relationship building. And boy, before anyone can really get into content marketing, if the goal is to really build relationships, then they really have to do the work of figuring out their ideal customers first. Otherwise, who are you going to build relationships with? So maybe you can join us for that workshop and actually teach a module on this topic, Eleanor. That might be fun.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, let's chat offline about that.
I will make sure we get in touch with you in another week or so as we plan the dates and when that's going to happen.
Awesome.
Otherwise, all of you remember that you can get the Avatar Discovery Course at www.theavatardiscoverycourse.com. And you can find more from Eleanor at eleanorstrong.com. That's E-L-E-A-N-O-R-E, strong, strong.com. And Linda and I look forward to having all of you join us again next week for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Thanks so much, Eleanor. Thanks, Linda. We'll see all of you next week, same time, same place. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.